is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Last time, I told you about my grandson being in a terrible car accident, being badly smashed up, and walking away when they said it was not possible for him to live. It's really a miracle story. I hope you heard it. If not, come to the website and hear it now. My website is www.greatshalom.org. And by the way, we're so happy to be on KSLR. Welcome to all of you San Antonio listeners and all of you in Central Texas beyond the Austin metro area. So glad to have you with us. But I want to tell you more about my grandson's story, because walking and talking is not enough. I wanted him to be able to read, to do well in school, to have a good life. Not simply be within normal limits, but have a great life. I told you that he had problems before the accident. He really was not a good kid. He had some difficult behaviors. I could see that all three of the boys, certainly the older two, were having significant difficulties. At 4 and 5, they were not speaking. And each of the three had some significant and different problems. And this one was no different. And I think it's so important to talk about this last leg of bringing him from walking and talking to honor roll. I think that's so vital to talk about in so many ways, because I want to encourage you as parents that faith for healing is not about serious conditions only, you know, like some life-threatening disease or some car accident, but it's also about everyday life. It's about making decent grades in school and finding a decent career and so forth. I also think it's important because as people who are learning about faith, it's very important to understand how faith and strategies go together, or faith and action. It's not simply faith like lay on the couch and say confessions and expect everything like cars and money and health to drop down from the sky upon you while you're laying on the couch eating your potato chips and watching the wrong kind of television, right? It's not that. It's also not do the best you can do, and then when you can't see anymore, well, it's up to God. It's also not that. What it is have faith in God. What it is nothing is impossible to him who believes. What it is faith without works is dead. All of those things are true. Those are our guiding lights. Yes. So I want to tell you about my grandson. He did get out of the hospital within weeks. And he came home to a loving home. His mother, of course, had her hands full with still a child in the cast and her grief and her cast and her surgeries and AJ. And of course, I did my best. They went on home to another city, and I had to try to get my life back together. But fortunately, because of the educational job I have, I was able to take some time off and to go and to educate the grandsons at home. I had already been educating the eldest one, and I'll tell you about him later. But I was able to go and spend some significant time in their city and spend some time with them. Now, to do that, I had to explain to my father why I was not continuing to earn money as normal, and I had to explain to my pastor why I was not going to be in church. And so I explained to my pastor, I told him what I had said to my father, that yes, I know that you want me to be diligent at work and earn money and save it up for their college, but if they never learn how to read, then all the money for college won't make any difference. And I could work all my life and never afford the kind of therapy that I can give the boys while I'm homeschooling him. My pastor said, can you really do that? I said, yes, sir. He said, you write a book. It was not a suggestion. It was an order. And the book is written and you can get it. It's the book on homeschooling, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. So I cover soup to nuts, really. It's a overall orientation, really a methodology book, so that you can pick the right strategies for your child as an educator. It gives you an overarching view. So it is not a curriculum, but it helps you choose curricula, and it covers the whole child's need and not just their academic needs. So you might find it helpful written, I think, so an average person can understand it. You don't need an education degree or any other kind of degree. If you could read, it will help you, I hope. So you can get that book. So I went off and I did homeschooling with them. And because I had spent no time in corralling a whole group, I could focus on my grandsons. And we did all kinds of things together. You know, we sang and we worshiped. We sang worship songs. And, you know, the rhythm for that was actually very helpful for the therapy that my boys needed. And we did exercises, and that became therapy. You know, I found that doing infinity signs, you know, an eight on its side was very, very hard for them. Well, he had coordination problems because he had had a brain injury. So all of these things we incorporated into our school day. We did the normal kind of things that 4, 5, 6-year-olds would do in, well, I don't want to say a classroom because it wasn't a classroom, but okay, so imagine a Montessori classroom. So some of the time we were at the table talking together, and some of the time they were on the floor working with sets of materials so they could investigate reality themselves. You know, like when you play with a set of red rods and the longest one is a meter and the shortest one is 10 centimeters, then you begin to see the relationship in base 10 and so forth. And you can play with the cylindrical inset, and you could see that in this block I've got deep to shallow, in this block I've got wide to thin or skinny diameter, in this block I've got big to small. And it's play, it's a puzzle, but you also learn as a preschooler many things about relationships, and then you could put language to it, and you've learned a lot of things. And so I combined what I knew from my Montessori training, what I knew from my practice as a tutor, and what I knew as an educator in general. One day, we went off to a field trip. We went to the orchard, and we had great time. We went through their gift shop. We went into the orchard. We saw that there were several kinds of apples. We picked them. We weighed them. We paid for them. We had lunch. We came home. And then we had to remember in what order. Did we see the gift shop first, or did we go to the orchard first? And then we wrote a story, a report for our mother about what we did that day. And we counted apples. We laid out 1 through 10 apples. Well, we knew that, okay? And then we laid out 11 through 20. Wait a minute. The second line doesn't have as many as the first? Something must be wrong. What are we missing here? We're missing 17. My grandson had never heard of 17. Apparently because, although he had been taught this many times in a group, because he was in a group, somehow something fell through the cracks and nobody heard it. He never had said 17. So we taught 17, and we taught, and we saw when we laid out the apples how 1 and 11 and 2 and 12. And so we saw this pattern, and we learned 17, and we learned up to 20. We learned our teens. And before very many weeks, we had learned through 100. And of course, then the world of math opens up. And of course, language opened up. Discovered that the youngest child had some difficulty with writing, writing out his letters. And so I devised some exercises for him so that he could become more familiar with drawing and with writing and so forth. And, of course, he just learned along with his brother. And pretty soon, the middle one was reading, sounding out letters and making simple words. At, mat, rat, bat, mad, and so forth. And it wasn't very long before we were getting into more complicated rules like road and coat and cow and now. And how wonderful to do in a few weeks. And of course, also we went to the playground. We went to a number of playgrounds. We went to visit Papa Don and saw his tractor and his chickens. And so many things we did. In the process, we learned a lot about social rules in our society and how you say good morning and how you might say no thank you when your friend suggests that you do something that's wrong. And so there are many things that could be taught in a holistic setting like that. And whether it's education or whether it's therapy really doesn't matter when you're at home, right? We had a wonderful, wonderful time. We generated beautiful memories. When I go back to that town now to visit my daughter and grandsons, they want to go back to your house, Grandmother, because they remember that house that I had there. My grandson is walking and talking and going to the bathroom. But much more than that, he's reading. Much more than that, he enjoys school. Oh, and I didn't tell you about when he came out of the hospital. One of his deficits was his throwing arm. Actually was the one that was most affected. Now, this child had a throwing arm that wouldn't quit. As a four-year-old, he could throw better than any 10-year-old I knew. And now he had a hard time using a pencil in that hand. And so one of the things that we did when we were together was juggle. Yes, Grandmother even learned a little bit about juggling. This is not my forte. But AJ really enjoyed it, and AJ learned a lot about coordination and restored his throwing arm. Yes, and he's playing sports now today. And he's a pretty good pitcher. So, you see, I didn't have to tell him it was therapy. We just juggled. Now, his younger brother doesn't enjoy juggling nearly so much. His younger brother is a very different kind of person. Let me tell you about him. The youngest one had had an actual diagnosis of developmental delay. And what they really meant was mental retardation. They brought him into a mentally retarded class and he didn't like it. Originally he liked it at first because of the nice toys, but after a while he decided he didn't like being there. I think probably because he preferred his brother's company to those students. Anyway, my daughter withdrew him from the class, and the professionals there told her that she was at fault for doing this, that this was wrong for her to do. But at any rate, whatever, the accident happened, the homeschooling continued, and you know what's going on with him? He entered school, and no one knew he ever had a diagnosis. He entered school almost reading because he was around his brother's lessons, and very shortly thereafter, on a trip back home, back to that town, I taught him how to read. So he has been on the honor roll for as long as there's been honor roll, you know, in kindergarten, there's not one. But he was reading ahead of his class, right? So much for that diagnosis. Was it a mistake? Oh, no, I don't think it was a mistake. I think that some attention, some innovative education helped a lot. And the basis for that was faith. Let me tell you about the oldest one. The oldest one had been living at my house when he was seven because my daughter had become so frustrated with the school. That child had gone through kindergarten three times, and she was not going to have him put back to kindergarten. And so I enrolled him in what was really a little bit advanced school. Unfortunately, there was more playing in the classroom during the day. So after our school days, mine, my work and his, then I would do his homework, which was several hours, which I'm not sure was correct. But anyway, for him, that's what we did. So I taught him how to read. He was sent out of first grade in his public school because he wasn't reading in October. And that's why he came to my house. I sat down with him, and in 3 hours, I taught him how to read. He was reading within 3 hours. Clearly, he had all the ingredients. He just needed somebody to sit down with him and help him put those ingredients together. And he had a fine cake. He really liked the game of making very large words and reading those. You know, they were sometimes nonsense words, but nevertheless, he was sounding out very large words. And so he really liked this. This was one of his fun times. Now, what was I telling you about him? All right. Well, one of the reasons I think that he had some difficulty learning was because he still was not speaking clearly. He was seven and he could speak, but not at all clearly. And when he came to my house, he was a snot fountain. So I took him off of milk and wheat. You know, I gave him almond milk and spelt bread, and all of a sudden he wasn't a snot fountain, and he started to speak more clearly. I also arranged for the services of a very qualified speech therapist who was kind to him, and he was learning quite quickly to speak more clearly. I think he had never heard the difference between R and O and D and B. I think he had never heard that. And so when he heard it, or maybe it was something else. At any rate, he was learning, and he could hear, and he was learning how to read very quickly. And he began teaching his brother, right, over the Christmas break. And so here were two boys who couldn't speak well, and with a little innovative education, they were not only speaking much better, but reading. And one thing we know about people who cannot hear and cannot speak well is it's more difficult for them to read. So after the accident, then AJ, the middle one, was going to that same speech therapist, and I was doing the driving. So I would sit in the waiting room with the youngest one. Now, he was young enough that it was not outside of normal limits for him not to be speaking. But I was concerned because I thought he should be speaking. And so I was playing with him during those office visits. And there was a little toy. You know, you punch the green button and the green clown comes up, whatever. And so we were playing that, and I would put language to that. And he started speaking that language back to me. And all the boys were saying, grandmother, grandmother, because th is very difficult, grandmother. And it was such a wonderful victory to hear them say clearly, grandmother. So I apparently taught the youngest how to speak and all of them how to read. And they're doing great. They're doing great. Okay, it was suggested, although this wasn't a professional diagnosis, that because the eldest wasn't speaking when he was five, that he was autistic. So instead of autistic, bipolar, ADD, oppositional, defiant, brain damaged, and MR, instead of that, we've got honor roll, honor roll. Yeah, we have great shalom. Now, we have some tragedy in the midst of that. Do I blame God for that? No, I think we had tragedy because we're in a broken world. Right? We did the best we knew how as human beings. But I learned a lot in that. I learned that God is entirely good, that there are promises that I can take hold of, and if I have faith, I can see miracles. I think One of these things we'll call a literal miracle. And the other things we might put in quotations. You know, when I say I pull off miracles with my students every semester, I put that in quotations, right? It's not, I don't know. I think most people wouldn't think it was supernatural. But when you get a student who is not doing well and has never done well and all of a sudden is doing well, that's good enough for me as an educator. That's what I want to see, right? And so maybe you won't call the innovative education that I do with my grandson's miracles, but instead of serious diagnoses, we've got victory. And that's what I want to share with you. That's what I want to inculcate with you. I want you to have enough faith to find the right strategy. So in this broadcast, I will preach the Bible and encourage faith, but I will also invite guests who have specific ideas. And so I want to tell you about some resources. And the first one, of course, is my website. Please come to www.greatshalom.org and find out all the wonderful things we have for you. And then I also want to tell you about my sponsors because they are resources for you. Thank you very much to them. Thank you for your attention. Also, thank you for your participation because even though I have some people who are helping me with airtime, I need some more help to get this word out. It takes more than mere airtime. So please tuck in a gift when you write me at P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And now I would like to pray with you and for you. If you would, accompany me to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We worship you, Lord, that you have good intentions to us, that you have given Jesus to save us, to heal us, to bless us, and with him you give us all things. So now, Lord, I speak blessing over my listeners. May they catch a vision of how much you want to bless them. I speak healing over them. May they be healed in body, in mind, in heart. May they find prosperity, joy, and peace in believing. And most of all, Lord, I would like to pray for wisdom for these parents and educators, because you promise in your word that if we ask you for wisdom, you don't correct us, chastise us, rebuke us for that, but you give wisdom and you give it liberally. And so we thank you, Lord. We're going to believe in that wisdom. We're going to look for that. And we're going to receive it. And we thank you for it, Lord. And we bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this is Sharon Sarles for the Great Shalom broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.great, G-R-E-A-T, Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, dot greatshalom.org, greatshalom.org. Get this book and use it.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.